Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
When God is preparing you, there's something that he does with each and every person that you read in the Bible. He isolates them. That's called sanctification.
He brings them out.
He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. And he said, there ought to be a difference between righteousness and unrighteousness, between holiness and unholiness. So next week, let's pick up there and talk about how God brings us out from where we are that he might isolate or sanctify us for the use of his glory.
Amen.
That we might hear.
Last week we left off talking about purpose and the fact that God has given every person that's ever been born a divine purpose that he himself has selected and chosen because he knows how he has made us. He knows what he has made us to do, what he has created us for, and he has given us that purpose. It is our obligation to seek the face of God and find out what is the purpose for which God has created us. Paul said it like this, I follow after that I may apprehend the cause for which God has apprehended me. I want to know why God has saved me, what his design is for my life. And as we do that, when we find out what it is God would have for us to do in our life, we don't find it out by asking 18 people, but we have to go to the source of our life. And God is the source of our life, and he's the one who will tell us for what purpose he has created us. As we find out that purpose, God will take us through, as he did through many of the people in the Bible, a time of separation or isolation, that time when he sanctifies us for his service, gets us ready for what it is we are to do in him. So today we want to finish the conversation by talking about separated for purpose. The dictionary defines purpose as the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. And sanctification is a state of separation unto God. All believers enter into this state when they are born of God, but of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is a once forever separation eternally unto God. God sets us apart. We also know that the scripture says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. God wants us to be separated for purpose.
I agree with you that we need to seek God for our purpose. What is it that we were birthed for? There is no one that has been created in the earth that God did not create us for a purpose. And it pleases him that we do seek his face to find out exactly what it is that he wants us to do in the earth. Matter of fact, we are not going to be fulfilled until we find out the purpose in which we are created for. We may go about doing some good things, but if we're not doing what God has called us to do, then all those things before then is unprofitable. One thing for sure is that God wants us to get close to him, that we may hear his voice and that we may know what it is that we need to do. When God separates us, it is to prepare us for the work that he has for us to do. Many times we are asking, you know, what is our purpose? And I just heard you say that we shouldn't try to find out our purpose by asking other people, what do you think God is calling me to? And I know many people do that. But God wants to speak to you personally. He wants you to seek after him, that he may whisper in your ear and allow you to know what your purpose is. And then there's times when sometimes when God is silent as to what your purpose is. And I remember one time that a man was prophesying to me, and he was telling me, he said, listen, God's going to, only thing he said was, God is going to take you from one place to another. He's going to give you many assignments. And always remember that when he gives you assignment, be faithful to that assignment to do. And so I, being new, I didn't really understand all that, what that meant. So I looked to my pastor, and he said, listen, he said, just occupy till he comes. Just keep doing what you're doing now, and God will begin to reveal it to you. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what happened, is that I was working in the church. I continued to work in the church. And as time went on, God began to elevate me into other areas where I found myself in leadership in the church. And that would never have happened if I didn't continue on, you know, doing the things that was put to my hands to do. And when I look back over that, that's been many years ago. And when I look back over that situation, I can see why now I had to go through those situations, is to prepare me for where I am now and where God is sending me.
The scripture that we want to read is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read it starting at verse 15. It says, and what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty.
And you know what? When I hear you reading that, he is saying to separate, he's separating us and preparing us. God wants us to be an example in the earth of who he is. He wants to show himself to unbelievers. And if we are mixing ourselves with the world, if we are taking on the habits of the world, how can people know who we really are? And that's the reason why he is saying, come out from among them, because not only that, is that you will be influenced by those behaviors and those habits that the world has if he doesn't pull you out. Remember, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador represents the people that has been, that have sent them into even other nations. If we're representing Christ, we must be able to, there must be a distinction between those who represent Christ and those who are in the world, or who, in order for people to see who Christ is.
And some people hear these scriptures and they say, it doesn't take all of that.
Yes.
That's where they get those holy rollers and those sanctified people. You know what? You can try to degrade what you see as sanctified. You can try to belittle what you see as holy rollers all you want. We need to be holy because God is holy. And part of that being holy means we sanctify or separate ourselves from the things that are in the world, because there is no agreement that we have with the devil. That's why Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed is the man, yes, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't get counsel from ungodly men on how to live a godly life. I don't get counsel from ungodly men on how to walk upright before God. I don't listen to the counsel of those who don't know God on how to live a righteous life in the presence of a holy God. Nor do I stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. I don't keep company with those who don't love God and expect that their actions and their deeds will not in some way influence my walk with God. We are the salt of the earth, and we're supposed,
that's
right, to be the influencers. We should not be led by the ungodly. We should not be influenced by the ungodly. But when you walk into the room, not because of who you are, not because of anything about you, but because of the light of God that shines through you, that treasure that God has placed in your earthen vessel, you should light up the room. You should influence the atmosphere. atmosphere, when they don't invite you to their unholy parties, don't take it personal. Mm. It's because the presence of God that dwells in you offends the unrighteous.
That's right.
And may the gospel and the truth and the light of God always offend the unrighteous.
Yes.
May it make them uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but when I was not walking with God, those who were always made me uncomfortable. And it should be such. They didn't make me uncomfortable because they were judging me. They didn't make me uncomfortable because they looked down on me. They made me uncomfortable because light came into where darkness was, and darkness could not overcome the light. When light walks into the room, darkness has to give way, and darkness is never happy about giving way to light, because the devil is always at war with God. But God is greater, and your God will prevail, and because you are in Christ, you are an overcomer.
You know, what has happened now is that the line has been blurred. You don't know what is right and what is wrong, or people try to justify the wrong things that they're doing, and so much so that when they justify it, they believe it, and therefore they made that the truth. And what happens is that they begin to cause others to follow after them. And I'm reminded of when God had sent Amos to the house of Israel to tell them that to turn around, and he said, listen, you tell them that I've sent out the plumb line. He said, because I am judging them. Basically, the plumb line is a standard of righteousness. And even when we talked about with Moses, when he told the people, he said, whose side are you on? He said, those who are on the Lord's side, stand over here, and those who are not, stand over there. And sure enough, as he was speaking, the ground had given away, and those individuals that did not stand on the side of the Lord, they were consumed. And so I can hear him saying again through Amos when he says, you go tell them, he said, this is the last time, he said, judgment will fall. He said, you tell them I have sent out the plumb line. Let God be true and every man a liar. When we talk about Moses and the things that Moses had to go through, don't think it's by accident or because he really was running because they saw him kill someone that he ran. Listen, that was in the plan of God to drive him out from where he, because it's an appointed time. Remember, Moses was Pharaoh's son, adopted son, so he had all the rights and privileges. He lived in royalty, you know, but it was an appointed time for him now to be moved out of that situation and to now be separated in the wilderness.
And that's what we're talking about, because in Pharaoh's house, he would not have been able to hear the voice of God. That's what we are talking about, separated for purpose. God will take you out from among them, because where you are, there's so many distractions. There's so many things that vie for your attention and for your affection. And God wants you to come out where you might hear his voice. Abraham had to go up to a higher mountain with his son for a sacrifice, but it wasn't until he was elevated up with his son that God began to speak the preceding word to him and said, touch not your son. God said, go offer me a sacrifice, but he didn't give him the further instructions until he was isolated or separated. Moses had to go to the wilderness, and in the wilderness, he became destitute and isolated and sanctified for the service of God. He began to hear the voice of God, receive the instruction of God, be prepared for what God had in store for him. God began to take out those things that would not allow him to be effective in the kingdom of God.
Right.
And God began to prepare him for service. Even Paul, when he had his conversion, when he was Saul and he was converted to Paul on the road to Damascus, God knocked him from his beast and knocked him to the ground, blinded his eyes, and separated him so that he might speak to him. And the words that came out of his mouth was, Lord, Lord. How did he even know it was God? Because God began to reveal, but not until God brought him from where he was and abased him to the ground.
At an appointed time, he was drawn out. It was purposeful for Moses to be in the house of Pharaoh, but then there was an appointed time that he had to come out from among the Pharaoh and the company there and be separated in the wilderness, that you, like you said, that God may speak to him. But this is what happened, is that one day as he was going about his own business, and then he saw the burning bush. And when he saw the burning bush, the Bible said he turned aside, and out of that burning bush, God began to speak to him. And there's times when God, when he is drawing you out from among the situations, and he's placing you in a place where you might think that there is no resources, or the place might be dry, but that might be the particular place that God is calling you to, that you may hear his voice.
Amen. And most times God has to bring you out, because if right. he were to speak to you where you are now, you wouldn't even hear him. There's so much clutter going on in your mind. You remember we talked a few weeks ago even about Samuel, and as he lay in his bed, he had that time when he was decluttered, his mind was decluttered, and he was at rest, and God began to call the young man. For the first time in his life, he began to hear the voice of God. And the thing that's so wonderful is from the time he called him as a youth, he never stopped hearing the voice of God.
That's
he
right.
received instruction. He knew the voice of God. Just as the scripture said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You have got to get that place of sanctification, isolation, separation, where you might hear and know the voice of God. It's not just to prepare us, but it's to develop our relationship with
That's
God.
Right.
I mean, Jonah tried to run from God, but when God isolated him in the belly of that fish, he began to minister to Jonah's heart, till when God allowed the fish to spit up Jonah, Jonah was glad to run and do what God had told him to do. God will develop you. God will take a Moses that said, I can't go, I can't speak because I stutter, and God will transform him into an orator that will stand flat-footed, unashamedly, and unfearful in the face of Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Mm-hmm. God develops relationship. God will separate us that he might develop us into the person we need to be before he sends us into service.
And developing a relationship with God is not only hearing his voice, that's very crucial, but there are things that you are going to go through in that process, that when you not only hear God, but because you're going through that process, now you know God, you have experienced him for him yourself. And even when we talk about even Moses, and we're talking about Jonah and the other Abraham, they were tested. They had to go through some things in order for them to develop a relationship with the Lord and to know God. I could imagine that when Abraham had his son laying on that altar, all kind of questions were going through his mind, but he yet believed the word of the Lord. And when he had done that, the Lord had spoke to him and told him, he says, now I know you. He said, you are my friend. And he knew, God knew him. God knew what he was going to do in the first place. But to know that when God tests you, that you come forth as pure gold. So in our process, we're going through some things in order for us not only to hear his voice, but to experience who he is. And once he have prepared us and he's developed a relationship with us, then he sends us out into the vineyard that we might do his work. And that's where the gifts and callings come into. That's the reason why you're being prepared, because he's using that which he placed in you to go out and to reach a dying world.
When your life can sing a song, when your walk preaches a sermon, and when you speak, the angels begin to sing, that's when your life has real meaning and you have a purpose-driven life. Let God prepare you and develop you and send you out that you might fulfill the purpose for which he has created you, a purpose-driven life.
Seek to extend your hand to help your fellow man, and when the world will pause to hear your song, that's when your legacy continues. That's when you know that God has used you, and you have a purpose-driven life. When you're walking in your purpose, connected to the divine. That's when your life has real meaning. You have a purpose-driven life. Walk in your purpose. God has already predestined for you. Walk in your purpose. He has a great work for you to do. When the world can see your destiny attached to God's own hands, that's when you have a purpose-driven life.
Really do like that song. I had never heard it before until you had brought it up. I like that part where he says, when you seek to extend your hand to help your fellow man, and when the world will pause to hear your song, that's when your legacy continues. That's when you know that God has used you. You have a purpose-driven life. And even while you were talking, I was reminded of when the Lord had called me to the ministry. Matter of fact, he had given me three scriptures, woke me up at three different times. But the first one I will remember, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, the call went out. I was already working in the church. I was already being obedient to the things that were given unto me. But then I heard his voice. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And from that point on, I began to start seeing some things happening in my life that I was pulled away. And there were certain things that I didn't do that I used to do, and certain people that I was around that no longer that I was around anymore, because that was part of my walk with him. And he sets you on that road for preparation.
When Jesus was in the wilderness, God was preparing him to fulfill his purpose. For he said many times over, this is the cause for which I was born and came into the world. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to reconcile men back to God. He came that he might be the propitiation for our sins. He came that he might go to that cross and give his life on that cross and shed his blood on that cross, that you and I would have a right to the tree of life, access to God, that the veil would be rent, and that we would be ushered into the presence of God if we receive the salvation of the Lord. That's why he came. And so we see that he went to the wilderness just before he fulfilled his purpose. When God separates us, he's preparing, as L.J. Renee said, he's preparing to send us out to fulfill the purpose for which he has ordained for our lives. And then not only does he call us out and separate us that he might prepare us and develop us and send us, but we don't want to give you a false impression. When he sends you, the road that you travel will not be an easy road. It will be hard and difficult and filled with all kinds of transitions. You know, after Jesus came out of the wilderness, he went through and suffered through many things that none of us would ever be able to endure. I mean, he was beaten, and he was spat upon,
rejected,
and he was crucified, and he was rejected, and he was lied on, and he was forsaken by the men that said they loved him and would give his life for him. So we thank God that we know even Paul and Silas and all of the disciples experienced it at some level. But Paul and Silas sitting in a jail for having done nothing but preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible said they prayed and sang praises unto God. So much so the foundation foundations of the prison were shaken, and God loosed the bands that had them tied. But when they were fulfilling their God-given purpose of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were beaten and imprisoned. When John was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. When you do what it is God has called you to do, we're not giving you the false impression that it will be easy, but it will be necessary that you go through and that you endure hardness as a good soldier, and that you stand, and when you've done everything you know to do, that you keep on standing on the infallible promises of God.
And that's the reason why all that you have said right there, that's the reason why it's so important that we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to endure, and it gives us the power to withstand, and it gives us the power to demonstrate who God is. Matter of fact, in John it says we can do nothing without the Lord. I mean, all things, like you said before, it will be difficult, but it won't be impossible. And that's because the Spirit of God is in you, that when he says go, you go. When he says stand, you stand. When he says speak, you speak. And it doesn't matter who is in your presence, but that you speak with boldness what God has spoken to you.
Dear God, we do thank you for this day that you have made. We are grateful that you have called us out of darkness into the marvelous light.
We are
grateful that you called us, Lord, that you selected us, that you have demonstrated your love toward us. What manner of love is this that you have bestowed upon us, that you call us sons and daughters? We are so grateful, dear God, that you have loved us with an undying, everlasting, unconditional love. May we likewise love you back. Dear God, may we be everything that you dreamed us to be. Let us not fight against the process of God as you prepare us for service, as you develop our relationship with you, God, as you send us out into the vineyard. Let us be those vessels that surrender to you everything, every part of us. May we lay it at the altar of God and say, have thine own way, dear God. You are the potter and we are the clay. Would you mold us and make us after your will? And God, I pray that everything in us, that we are willing to surrender it to you, that we might apprehend that cause for which you have apprehended us,
yes,
that we might do and fulfill the whole will of God. May every single person listening to this recording seek your will and your face to know what it is you would have for them to do. May not one of them be afraid when you tell them what it is you would have them to do, for you have never called us and not prepared us. You have never sent us and not prepared us, and you have never sent us and not gone before us. May we be willing, dear God, to lay our lives down for you. God, I pray that none of us would compromise the truth of the gospel, that we would defend it with our lives, that we would contend for the truth that was delivered to the saints of God. Father, that we would be radical about the things of God. Father, that we would be tenacious about the gospel and the truth of God, that we would hold on to you and not let you go till you bless us. May we stay in your presence and seek your face with all of our heart, strength, and soul until we find in you that place in God where we are communing with the Almighty. May we know your voice when you speak in a thunder. May we know your voice when you speak in a still, small whisper. May we know the voice of our God, and may we never be deceived, misled, or led astray, God. We thank you for this day. You, dear God, have separated us for the purpose for which you have called us, and may we yield to your separation. May we yield to your guiding. May we yield to your divine purpose for our life, that we would be vessels of honor in the presence of our God. Thank you, dear God. We love you. We praise you. We appreciate you. We applaud you for how you have worked and are working in our lives. There is no God like Jehovah, and our soul proclaims this morning that our God reigns. Hallelujah. Let God arise and let your enemies be scattered. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray and give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.